The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Gary Capewell, John Babb and Stephen Powell in the studio. We've got Jumps Racing from Lingfield and Sedgefield on Tuesday afternoon, accompanied by all weather action on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So three meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, Mark. Thank you.
Good. Cracking weekend, Mick, just gone by. We've got another one coming up as well with the Hennessy meeting at Newbury. And we're going to look at the Monday Jury, which reflects on some of those performances last weekend and looks ahead to this weekend. But what a weekend we had.
We certainly did. And I'm also tingling from the Irish win over Australia in the rugby. In the Aviva in Dublin. That was a tremendous game. I don't know if you saw it, Mark, but...
I didn't.
Had everything. Had a bit of everything. And, of course, Lewis Hamilton clinching his second world title in Abu Dhabi yesterday. That was very emotional as well. Great week of international sport all round, Mark.
It was. Fantastic weekend. We're going to focus on the racing though, Mick, unless you've got a strong opinion on the Formula One next season or something.
No.
We'll start with the Monday Jury. And the first question, would you have had Fauxhines ahead of the new one in the champion hurdle market? I've got the betting in front of me, and Fauxhines is 9-4 at the top of the market. The new one 7-2, Jeski 11-2, 10s for Annie Power, Hurricane Fly 14s, and 25s are bigger for the others.
I can't understand why they're both ahead of Jeski. The reigning champ for me always should be, you know, he's a spring horse, he's a good ground horse. We know how effective he is at Cheltenham. I mean, before he's got plenty to prove. The new one hasn't, but he's still. Arguably, he was an unlucky loser in the champion hurdle last year after going on his nose, but I still think the reigning champ should be the market leader.
Yeah. Do you think it's got something to do with the fact that he was beaten on reappearance by Hurricane Fly?
I don't think they were too bothered about that.
No.
And he was getting a race under his belt, getting the programme, the countdown to his title defence started, and it was a great starting point. I mean, it was a good blowout for him, wasn't it? The race was running a good gallop thanks to the front runner, and he wasn't beaten by a mug, was he?
No.
I thought it was a cracking reappearance by Jeski, and I bet they were all delighted, both first and second.
So I'm guessing you must think 11-2 could be good value about Jeski.
Unbelievable value about Jeski. Yeah.
Good stuff. Let's move on to the second question. What's your take on the King George and Cheltenham Gold Cup now?
Not much change in the King George. I think the vibes were good about Slovenarco Conti going to Haydock, and he surely showed that race at Weatherby was just a blip and had brought him on. And
he always comes on for his reappearance anyway, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And the softer the better, which is probably going to be a wet King George. He'll love it, won't he? Mm. Whereas Paul's other one, Alfaroff, won't. He'd want it to dry up, which I can't see it doing. No, I think everything looks in place for another crack at the King George for Slovenarco Conti. I'm not so sure about him for the Gold Cup. I think the Gold Cup's so wide open as it was last year, but the one I would love to see go there, I know he's had only one run over fences so far in his life, but that's the Tullow Tank. Whether they'd be so bold as to aim him at a Gold Cup in an open year, you never know. Barry Connell's a sporting owner, and he looks the real deal to me. Natural over fences, stays well, a proper horse in the Tullow Tank. If they started making vibes about going for the Gold Cup, I'd be very tempted to start anti-posting him, and we'll see. But at this moment, I just, the old guard are there, aren't they? Lord Windermere is going to be back for another crack. But I mean, there's five of them in line up the hill, wasn't there, in the Gold Cup, which is great to see, because we don't want one horse dominating it year in, year out, do we? So it's wide open and plenty to water to flow under the bridge before we get there, and I think each weekend will throw up a different angle. So I'm sitting firmly on the fence and waiting to see what they decide to do with the Tullow Tank.
Okay. Going through the betting, just for anybody who wants to know, King George betting Savignaco Conti now 7-2 at the top of that market. Simon Sig 5-1. Champagne Fever 11-2. Alpha off 8s with Menorah. Road to Riches 10s and 12s for Q Card, Dynast, and Holywell, and 14-1 or bigger for the others. With regards to the Cheltenham Gold Cup, Savignaco Conti market leader there as well. He's 7-1 favourite for the Cheltenham Showpiece. Bobsworth 10s with Holywell and Lord Windermere. And Sir Deschamps 12s for Champagne Fever, 16s for Q Card, Menorah, and Road to Riches. And Simon Singh and Smad Place, and then 20s or bigger for the others. So he's at the top of the market for both of them at the moment, Mick Savignaco Conti after the weekend.
Yeah, well, they've got to put something in his favourite, haven't they? And he's there by default, really, isn't he? I'll be surprised if he wins a Gold Cup.
I would as well, to be honest. It just doesn't suit him. You saw last year, he was at the last, he was level, wasn't he? And he just didn't stay on strong enough. So.
Yeah.
So I'd have my doubts myself. What do you make of Vautour then, Mick? What does the future hold for him after his debut win over Fences?
I just hope they keep him to 2 miles. He looks natural in the 2 mile division, and although the Arkle is there for the taking, again, why not have a crack at the Queen Mother if he's if he goes the right way? Because that division is wide open, isn't it? Even as wide open as the Gold Cup is.
Yeah, and if Sprinter Sacco doesn't come back on song, and we've got doubts about
Side of Grugy
as well. I mean, it would be wide open then, wouldn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And he jumped like an old hand yesterday. I don't know if you saw him, Mark, but Ruby had that much confidence in him.
Yeah.
He left him alone to let him organise himself at the last. And you could see the horse calculating a stride from about 6 strides off. He plicked his ears, he changed his legs. Ruby never moved. He just let him get on with it. And he was as clever and as neat as he could wish for. For a horse having his first run over Fences at a track that wants plenty of jumping, it was absolutely outstanding.
It was impressive, yes. And and like you say, Mick, I mean, it beyond the front two in the champion chase, they're all much for muchness, aren't they? None of them, really, if Vautour lives up to his potential, would get anywhere near him, would they?
Yeah, and if Willie said tomorrow, we're skipping the Arkle, we've got another one for the Arkle, we're going for the champion chase, he'd be favourite.
Yeah, would you? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, let's have a look at the champion chase betting, just see if we can get it up, just to see what's in there at the moment. Queen Mother Champion Chase. Sprinter Sacra 5-2, Side of Grugy 4-1. Champagne Fever 12s, 14s for Balder Succane.
Well, if he's not better than Champagne Fever, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah.
Won't you?
I would, yeah. There you go, that says it all.
And he's a good horse, Champagne Fever. I'm not knocking him.
Vautour could be something really special, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, give us one to keep on side from the weekend skirmishes, Mick.
I liked the way Puffin Billy went about his job on Friday at Ascot.
Yeah.
And he's always he's been a horse I've really liked all of his career, just like his exuberance. You know, they've fallen in and out of love with him a little bit, but the fact remains that he's won 5 of his 10 career starts, which is not a bad effort, is it? And, he's he's got... My worry with him, he's only got one win going left-handed, well, in Kesley Count Fontwell, and that's every which way, isn't it? And that was at Newbury. So I just hope he's not right-handed dependent, because he has disappointed, if you like, on both of his starts at Cheltenham. His wins have been at 3 at Ascot, that win at Fontwell that I told you about, 2nd at Exeter, a win at Newbury, but he also was beaten at Newbury. I just hope he's not dependent, right? And it's more a case of when he's right, he's good.
Yeah.
And he looked good at Ascot the other day, and be interested to see where he goes next. Maybe to Kempton over Christmas.
Yeah.
Which would be ideal for him.
Yeah, I think it would, yeah.
So, just outside the box, we know all about all the obvious ones, etc., etc. But I thought it was great to see Puffin Billy improve for his reappearance at Exeter after nearly a year off, when he ran at Exeter. That was a great run, and very exuberant performance by him as well. And, there's more to come from him.
Yeah, it's great to see us all, because he nearly died, didn't he?
When he did,
year off,
he
so
did.
It's great to see him back, and back in the winner's enclosure.
Oliver's got his horses in terrific nick as well, which is also good to see.
Good. Who do you fancy for the Hennessy Gold Cup, Mick?
I was looking at it, Mark, and, there's not that many committed yet, are there? I mean, I know they... the favourite looks a handicap lot, doesn't it?
Mm.
If it, I suppose he'll have to come, won't he, will he? But looking outside the box,
okay,
a bit. I know he's got a his share of weight, but Hublon Desobo, who was sixth in the race last year, now he'd had a run. He won at Ascot first time up, and sadly, he took his he went up from 1.44 to 1.54. Which he ran off in the Hennessy. Now, if he'd gone off 1.44, for me, he'd have won the Hennessy. I know he's still got a stiffish mark, but it's a good time to catch him. For and he loves the mud. And what you've got to look for when you're doing your shortlist for the Hennessy, go for a mud lover, because that's what he's going to be. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be a slog. And he's in his element when it's like that, Hublon Desobo.
Is that Venetia Williams?
Who it is, yeah.
She's had a few winners last week as well.
Yeah, her horses are sort of in their element when the mud's flying, aren't they? Many clouds. He's only seven. I say only seven, it's a perfect age for a chaser, but my worry is sometimes Henderson can leave such a mark on them. Hublon Desobo is only seven as well. My worry is that he can leave such a mark on them that... that it finishes them off for the season. Last year's was better. The race worked out quite well.
Yeah.
Horses did come out and win. But this year, I think it's going to be particularly grueling. So it just slightly concerned me. But at this moment, I need another look at it when we see who's jocked up and what have you. And the other one that I wanted to mention was Wiesentraun, who comes into it on a hat trick. And I think Lucy Wadham's a fantastic trainer, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was more to come from him. And we know that he's German bred, and German bred horses all relish soft ground. So he could be a lively one, as long as our friend doesn't put him up on price wise. at the weekend, I mean, I know you wouldn't think going in on the back of a win at Fakenham would be good enough, but he's got plenty of experience in the book, this horse, and she's placed him very, very well as Lucy. You know, he started life off. His first ever mark was 104, and he's now 137, I think he is. If not bigger, might be in the 140s now after that win last time. Let me just have a look and see if I've got his mark here in front of me. 145. So that's how well she's campaigned him and improved him and just kept quietly ticking away, not overfacing him, building his confidence. He's gone to Little Tracks Market Raising. He won an ice race at Doncaster. That was a beginner's chase. He went there, which is a good test of a jumper, and she just brought him along so quietly, and this is going to be his biggest test for sure, but he might well be up to it, you know, and he could be a dark horse for the race. So I'd just pop those two up against the field as it stands at the moment, Hublon Desobo and Wiesentraun, because you will need a mudlark.
They're both very attractive prices as well. Hublon Desobo 25-1 and Wiesentraun 33-1 at the moment.
Yeah, that's something like it.
Yeah, you'll be doing well if those two hit the frame.
Yeah.
What else is lighting your fire for the coming weekend, Mick?
Yeah, the Fighting Fifth seems to have lost a bit of its lustre, doesn't it? But there's a whisper going around that Honey Power might, if she doesn't stay at home for the Hattin's Grace, she might come over for it, and it's going to be a winnable one. So it'd be great to see her if she does come over, wouldn't it? I think she'd be the one I'd be most looking forward to this weekend, apart from the Hennessy.
Yeah. From a purely selfish point of view, Mick, I hope she stays in Ireland, because I'm at Fairy House next weekend.
Right. So. Of course you are. It's your weekend in Fairy House. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that would add a bit of lustre to the card, wasn't it? The Royal Bond and the Dryn Mawr, is it?
Yeah. Good. Got three great ones on the card.
Yeah. So fantastic.
Fantastic.
So,
yeah. Okay. Good.
So there's one thing there's not short of in Ireland is plenty of runners, is there? Whereas a brilliant piece by Lee Mottershead highlighting the dearth of northern jumpers on page 7 of the Racing Post today, and you know, we've been to watch and are involved in racing day in, day out, bemoaning that fact. I mean, where, you know, they're just not. When I was doing this, you know, every time you had a runner, you were up against Peter Easterby, Arthur Stevenson, Gordon Richards, to name but a few. Every race you'd bump into, there'd be one of those guys, or if not all of them.
Mm.
Michael Dickinson. There was others. I can't. You know, there was that many. It was Jimmy Fitz. You know,
yeah.
They'd all. You know, they'd all have something and a decent horse as well. But now it's all permit holders and the odd Lucinda Russell and Sue Smith, and that's about it, isn't it?
Mm.
Nicky Richards. You name me another big jumping trainer now in the north. They're just not there, are they? It's
no.
Very sad. So there you are. It's sign of the times, I'm afraid. I don't know whether we can blame summer jumping, whether there's too much of that, although you could argue that the summer jumping horses are good ground horses, and although the summers we have, it's the Mudlarks who want to be summer jumping, isn't it? But anyway, it's a sad state of affairs for northern jumping, and you just have to look at the lack of northern challenges for the good prizes on offer at Haydock at the weekend.
Yeah, only two northern winners, weren't there, on the day, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. Should we move on, Mick?
I think we'd better before we get too depressed.
Yeah. Let's move on to Tuesday's action, then. Mick's picked out three races for us at Southwell, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, on to Tuesday. Mick's picked out three races for us at Southwell, starting in the 110, which is a Class 5 maiden stakes over a mile, Mick. And, well, which one's
you might think, why has he gone for this?
Yeah.
Well, the market's going to be dominated by Whispering Star and Wu Zetian, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Whispering Star. Down a half mile in trip after 132 days off this filly. Did run moderately, though, on her only previous start here on the fibre sand, and was beaten three times in handicaps off marks in the 50s. So you look at that mark of 65 and say, well, that, she should be up to winning this. But is she a 65 filly, having been beaten three times in the 50s in handicaps?
Mm.
And one of them, I think, was off 51, if I'm not mistaken. And so that mark may flatter her. So she's going to take a chunk out of the market. The other one is Wu Zetian, who, to be fair, if she handles the fibre sand, she's going to be, you know, a major player. She's shown ability all four starts. Found an old arrival who found some form out of the blue, too good for last time at Wolverhampton, but kept on well for second. The form's uninspiring, but in the main, so is this opposition. So a lot depends on how Wu Zetian handles the surface, and those two are going to take a huge, huge chunk out of the market. So me, being as perverse as ever, I'm going for Lendl Bridge to beat them both, who, as that rating of 54, we know is about accurate, whereas those other two might not be 64s and 65s and 67s. At least we know that Lendl Bridge can run to 54. He's been placed in the 60s,
yep.
Lendl Bridge. And more importantly, Mark, he's run well on both of his runs here at Southwell. So I'm going to take a chance with Lendl Bridge to outrun his price.
Okay.
Let's hope.
Yes. Lendl Bridge then in the 110. Moving on to the 310 next. And this is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and a half for three-year-olds and older. Eight of them in the lineup, and several of them coming into this in good form. Street Artist, Mixed Message and Reach the Beach all won last time, Mick.
Yeah.
Any of those on the shortlist?
Well, Hannity told me Street Artist won't get beat, so I don't go against him. Well, I'll never hear the end of it. will I? I mean, he's a son of Street Cry. He was a really good influence for... Artificial Services. He's got that penalty for Wolverhampton, but he has been placed off higher marks than this in the past, and he ran very well, which I think is the most important key factor on his only previous visit here to Southwell, and for me that makes him the one to beat, and he absolutely bolted up. I don't know if you saw the race at Wolverhampton 8 days ago, but he absolutely bolted up there, and I think there's the slower tempo that this race is going to be run at will suit him as well. So, yeah, for once, I'll have to side with Hannity and Street Artist. Love You, Whatever, 4 from 6 here. Michael Appleby and Alistair Rawlinson teaming up with this one. Ali can slip the 5 on this 4 times course winner. Just forget the recent runs back here on the fibre sand. She's £4 higher than the last winners, but has been placed off higher. Backup in trip will help as well, and she rates the danger to Street Artist back on her favourite surface, and we know how well Michael Appleby does here at Southwell through the winter months.
Yep.
And the other one to mention is Reach the Beach, who's got a decent record here, and was confidence was boosted last time. Slight concern is no wins have come in the 60s, all marks in the 50s and 40s. So just going to have to raise her game again. And she is up against a couple of lurkers there in Street Artist and Love You Whatever. But they're the three on the shortlist, but Street Artist gets the vote.
Okay, Street Artist there then in the 310. Moving on to the 340 next, which is a Class 6 handicap over 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older. Quite a nice field size here as well, Mick.
It is, yeah.
14 of them.
Should be a nice each way race. I'm going with the top weight here, Musical Molly. Graham Gibbons riding for Brian Ellison. She's got course and distance winning form back in midsummer. And she wears cheap pieces for the first time. Excellent second over this course and distance a week ago, and in fact she's run well all three visits to Southwell, and she can run off the same mark as well as when she was only beaten ahead over this CD a week ago. I think the revised mark from Saturday might have her nudged up a few pounds. One of her rivals opposes Invigilator, who finished third in that, and they run off identical marks. Invigilator ought to be able to get closer, because he did not get the run of the race, but was doing his best work close home. I don't think he's going to be able to improve past her on these same terms. Might have done if the new mark had kicked in, but he ought to hit the frame, Invigilator. And the other one to mention is the hat-trick-seeking best Tammy, who has got the plum drawing one, but effectively, with the penalty, etc., and the new mark, is now £13 higher than for the last of those wins. But is improving, has got a good draw, and is very effective on fibre sand. So it's a cracking little Class 6, that final race, but I'm going to stay with Musical Molly.
OK, Musical Molly in the 340 then. Let's have a quick summary, Mick, before you go, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, OK, the 110 at Southwell, the Mile Maiden, with Whispering Star and Wu Zetian likely to dominate the market. I'm looking outside the box and hoping that Lendl Bridge can reward support at a nice price. In the 310, Street Artist comes here with a penalty for that effortless Wolverhampton win, but does have decent course form and should be able to concede weight to the field. And in the lucky last, ditto Musical Molly, conceding weight to the field, but only went down by a head last time, can run off the same mark and can make amends.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from midday. Gary Capewell, John Babb and Stephen Powell will be your team in the studio. It's Lingfield and Sedgefield over the obstacles and Southwell on the fibre sand. So do tune in. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.